This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to be picking up with verses 17 to 30. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Okay, and verses 17 to the close. Now remember, we left off last week with David initially being well received and well positioned by King Saul. But David hit a nerve. He became too popular. And when he came back from the hunt or from the war, the women came out with their instruments and began to sing the praises of both King and David. But they ascribed to David a much greater tally on the battlefield. And Saul took great issue with that. And now David becomes Saul's enemy. And now the turn has occurred. Ready? Verse 17. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter, Michab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." So in essence, what is King Saul doing? He wants somebody else to do his dirty work. And David said unto Saul, "Who am I? And what is my life? Or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Sin's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Mehohite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul's mind is now clicking. Saul said, "I will give him her." Why? "That she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Wherefore Saul said to David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." And Saul commanded his servants, saying, "Commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law." So this was going to be a marriage basically forced upon David. David's servant spake those words in the ears of, and Saul's servant spake these words in the ears of David. And David said, "Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "On this manner spake David." So you know this back and forth is going on. Talk about backroom dealing. Saul said, "Thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry," so he doesn't want money, "but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies." But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men. So notice, he's not alone. He and his men. And slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them all in full tally to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy, not on a bad day, but continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Please be seated. And may God bless his word. We're going to call this Saul Plots David's death. Saul plots David's death. And we can add more to that title. Saul plots David's death by deception. That's another thing. Well, let's get the gist here. Okay? All right? Look at verse 17. Saul said to David, "Behold my elder daughter." Okay? "Her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me. Fight the Lord's battle." And notice the underlining motive which the Spirit of God tells us. "Let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." Now notice also verse 25. "Thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not a dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of my enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." So once again here, Saul has a facade. He wants to pump up. Since David now is known for his skill in battle and the fact that he comes back with many dead on the battlefield, that's a strength. Okay, so Saul wants to exploit David's strength. And how do we do that? Well, we're going to kind of puff up David. "Hey, David, you fight the king's battles. You do a great job. Even the women tell us that in the way they sing and dance. How about you avenge me of my enemies?" And what was Saul's greatest enemy right now? What was Israel's greatest enemy? Their neighbor off to the southwest along the coast, Gaza, modern-day Gaza, the area of the Philistines, the five kings of the Philistines. That was the thorn in Israel's side right now, or the Philistines. And so he thinks, "Well, I'm going to give you my daughter. But before we do that, how about you go out there and do this and do that for me?" At first, David says in verse 18, "Who in the world am I that I should be the king's son-in-law?" Now, I don't know whether or not David knew. Was this David playing with the king? I don't know. Was this David wise enough to know that he's trying to be, David's being set up by the king? And so to me, I'm wrong in thinking, but I like to think this way at times. Is this David playing with the king as well? Because David knows what's going on. David knows. "Who am I?" What does he say on another occasion, verse 23? David said, "Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man?" And notice, lightly esteemed? Was that the truth? No. So again, David's playing with the king as well. Could this have been a defensive measure on David's part? David's already playing. Remember that one time when he's playing acting with the Philistines and he's a crazy man? Is he playing the same hoodwinking game on his king? "Who am I, a poor man?" Now we know David's father was rich. He had enough livestock. So David's daddy wasn't a poor man, per se. A man's wealth was measured by two things: land and livestock back then. Not money in the bank, not an IRA. Land and animals. And David's daddy had both, apparently. So funny. There's so much comedy, even in the Bible. So much drama. Well, in verses 19, the original daughter's given off. And so now David now is still a single man. But then in verse 20, this other daughter, she loves David. And they told the king. And what does the king say? "Ah, I still got something up my sleeve. I'm going to hook him up." Saul said, "I will give him to her." Notice that she may be a snare. And notice that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Three times in our reading. Three times, Paul is hoping the Philistines would do his dirty work. And so now Saul does like this back channeling that we see so much today in politics. Saul tells his servants. The servants in turn tell David. David gives his answer to the servants. And the servants go back to the king. And you got this back and forth going on. Verse 22. Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly. You go find yourself a back room. Shut the door. Pass out the cigars. Pour the champagne. Behold, the king has a delight in thee. Really? That's a lie. And all his servants love thee. Well, I would say most did. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And then David comes across. Who am I? I'm just poor. The servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spoke David. Notice back and forth. How come these two guys just couldn't sit across the table? Just like today, we go through intermediates. Okay. So, as we wind this up, verse 27, David takes the challenge. All that he wants is what? 100 foreskins, verse 25. David says, let's make it 200. Now, there are portions of the Bible that many of us sometimes say what? Can you imagine what they had to do what they did? Kill a man and then go from there. You ever wonder who had the audacity, who had the job of counting? 1, 2, 3. Counting the number of foreskins to make sure the tally was correct. To our mind, I imagine some people get very, very revolted by this. And they speak very bad about the Bible. But beloved, we're being told exactly what happened. That's what David did. They counted the tally. It satisfied Saul. And Saul gave him his daughter to David. And then how does it end? Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Underline that. That is continually mentioned, even in our last reading. I believe last week it was said several times. And Saul was able to at least discern that David had a relationship now with the Lord. Saul had lost and forfeited that connection. Also, it bothered him that Michal, Saul's daughter, did love David, and therefore that would have meant that she would have had any evil designs to go along with her daddy's evil. Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Do you notice that when you please the Lord, there are some people that are going to be very suspicious of you, and they become afraid of you. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Have you ever generated a few enemies because you were so close to Christ? A lover of his word? A passion for the truth? Have you generated a few enemies? They don't like being around you? Nothing new. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. So guess what? What is your response, as I close, what is your response in the light of your enemies around you? You must act all the more wisely. Careful what you say. Now, don't water down the truth for their sake. Be careful what you say, but above all, be careful how you act. Because they're watching. And as soon as you jump the line in their eyes, they'll hurl that at you. David's only recourse right now was to walk very wisely. Don't give Saul any more ammunition that Saul already thinks he has on David, or your enemies may have on you. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word.